All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fort George Baptist Church. It's good to be with you here. I've just got a couple things to announce before we get started. And the first one is about our spaghetti dinner fundraiser. And tickets are $15 if you want to come pick some of those up from me at the end of the service. It's going towards the youth going to Green Bay Bible Camp in May. And so we'd love to see you guys all there. It's a couple weeks from now. So you guys have some time to prepare. Another thing is that I've left in your mailboxes an update on what the youth group is up to. And so I see that a bunch of you haven't checked in a while, so there's some stuff in your mailbox that you might be interested in. So go check that out. That stuff's for you. And then I've got another announcement that's on a little bit of a different note. And this week's been really busy for me, actually. It's probably been one of the busiest weeks of the year. But on Tuesday, I asked Kiara to marry me, and she said yes. So it's very exciting. She wishes that she could be here, but she had plans from a long time ago to be in Quesnel for something else this weekend, and so she's on her way back right now. She might be able to catch you guys as you guys are leaving, but she's not here this morning right now. But anyways, this morning, even though I've probably got the least prepared sermon of my life, I had some things on my mind this week, but I think this is an important one. Prayer is one of those things that I think a lot of people struggle with, and it's kind of accepted. And I'm not kidding here. I hear from so many people, especially people my age, myself, actually, that prayer is something that we struggle with. We love connecting with our friends who are Christians, and this is when we feel close to God. I hear that from a lot of people. I know that's the case for me. And I know that some of my friends feel connected to God when they're listening to podcasts and they're connecting deeply with the things of God on an intellectual level. They're talking about philosophy and Christian ethics and meaning and language and community, and it all draws them close to God, and they thrive on this. This is a big thing for them. And then others of you and others of them really love music, and it catches you every week. The moment that you feel closest to God is when you are singing in the congregation to good worship music, or you're playing it, or you're singing along in your car. These are the moments that you feel closest to God. But one thing I don't hear a lot of is, especially among people my age, that they love spending time praying with God every morning. I just don't hear it very often. What I do hear a lot of is that they don't know how to pray, they don't know when to pray, for how long to pray, what words to say, and many are scared that they're not going to pray well. They won't use the right words. And a lot of that is because a lot of us who have grown up in the church for a long time use these really fancy words, and then these younger Christians see us and they say, I don't know how to do that. And so they just don't pray. But nonetheless, we have a big problem here, because either people are not enjoying their time praying, or they don't know how to pray, or they're just not praying at all. And so we have a big problem here. It's not like a you're guilty and I'm guilty and we need to figure this prayer thing out, but we need to figure this prayer thing out because we need it for our spiritual lives. We need to get this thing right. It's a major component of our spiritual diet that I think that so many of us are in desperate need of, and we don't even know it. But I really appreciate this church and something that you do in that you pray every Sunday morning. And that's not a thing that every church does, and I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate that we have morning prayer every Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't even come to that, so I should probably listen to my own advice here. And that we have prayer vigils, and this is important. And this is something that we can set an example to Lighthouse. Because this is like Lighthouse having all of this food available to it. It's like a malnourished child who has plenty to eat, because we do have plenty of spiritual food out there. The amount of podcasts and sermons online that are available, and worship services in this city and deep Christian community. So I know a lot of people are involved in all of these things, and they take it in, and they take it in, and they take it in. Can't get enough of it. But, like I said before, it's like a malnourished child who has lots to eat, but we don't realize that we're missing essential nutrients. We're filling ourselves up with good things, but we neglect the vitamins and the minerals that we need for our body to be healthy and vibrant. And so I think for many of us, we don't even realize that even though there's plenty of food on the table, we're starving. But before we get into the topic of prayer, I think it would be really appropriate for us to pray together for this morning. And I'm challenging us to do something new and different. We don't normally pray right before the sermon, but I'm going to pray, and then I ask that you take a moment to pray in the pew and to just ask for Jesus' presence and that he would be here with us. And just listen for his voice. What is he saying to you? And what is he saying to our church? And what is he convicting us of? So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, I pray this morning that your presence would be felt here. God, we want to be known as a church who prays and prays for the right things, God. God, may we continue to grow in this and continue to be an example to others in this. God, I pray that you would hear us now. Jesus, I pray that you would hear us this morning, that you would soften our hearts, and that we would be encouraged to pray boldly through the week. Pray this in your name. Amen. So we're in the middle of a series going through hospitality and justice, and so why are we talking about prayer? Seems a little bit off track, and I thought that was kind of the case when Pastor Dan gave me these two sermon texts to go through. And so Pastor Dan gives me two sermon texts, and one of them I had heard a lot of, and then this other one I had never heard of before. And that doesn't happen very often to me. But for a second, as I was reading through this sermon text, I was reading it, and I'm like, am I reading out of the right set of scriptures? I've never heard of this before. But it turns out it was right, and I was reading through the Bible, and I had just never heard a sermon on this passage. I'd always looked through Luke and never remembered it. But anyways, I decided that I would preach on this passage, even though I had no idea what it meant. And honestly, it was super confusing to me. It was one of those passages that you read through the Bible and you wonder to yourself, why did you include this in the Bible? One of my favorite, one of those moments is in the Old Testament where Elisha, a prophet, is he walking along in the woods, and he's walking and he's got my problem, and these children are yelling out to him, Baldy, Baldy, and he gets a little bit frustrated. And so he calls upon some spiritual power, and two bears come running out of the woods and they attack the children. And it is the most random story that I've ever read in the Bible. I don't know what the purpose of the story is. I honestly just think that Elisha needs to go for some counseling and work through some problems. He's got some insecurities. I don't know why that's in the Bible. But today's passage was kind of like that for me. And so as we read it together, you're going to come to see why I did think that. But it actually has a lot of purpose for our lives. So if you guys want, open up to Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. The heading should say something like the parable of the persistent widow, and it's up here on the screen. And it says this, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is such a weird passage for me. And the first time I read it, I was so confused. And this is what I got from it first. So there's a judge, and he's a really bad guy, and he doesn't give justice to this woman. And we don't know why, but he just doesn't seem to like her. But this lady doesn't stop talking. And so I guess she's just terribly annoying, and she won't stop bugging the judge. And the judge is realizing that this widow is getting a little bit antsy, and so he decides that he's going to bring about justice because he's worried that she might kill him. What a weird story. It's very random, but I ask God, are you asking us to throw a tantrum until we get what we want? Are you worried that we're going to attack you if you don't do what we say? Why do you want us to pray in this way? Because I know that I'm not comfortable with this. But it turns out that this passage has a lot more to do with hospitality and justice than it does with God asking us to beg and plead to the point of violence. Actually, it's the opposite of that. And this passage is one of those passages that calls us deeply out of a lackluster faith and into a vibrant faith that causes us to look a lot more like him. And so as I was studying for tonight, I was watching a sermon, or as I was studying for this morning, I was watching a sermon on this passage by Rick Warren, and he pointed out that there's a parallel passage to this one in Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. And it's also a really weird passage. And in a way, it's easy to interpret it as God calling us to be a pain in his neck, to throw a fit when we don't get what we want. But the passage says this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So two weird stories, and both are with people that are painted as being incredibly persistent and perhaps a bit rude, a bit annoying, and unaware of manners. Because the reality is, I live really close to Pastor Dan, and if I went to him at midnight, he probably wouldn't give me 3 loaves of bread either. But, and I'd probably get talked to on Tuesday, but the point of these passages are talking about persistence and coming to Jesus expecting that he has our best interest in mind. And so let's look back at this passage again. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open up to Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. But anyways, It's important to understand what the context of this passage is. And so we need to be asking ourselves, why is Jesus telling his disciples to pray for justice? And why is he explaining to them how to do that? Well, in Luke 17, verse 20 to 37, the section of text right beforehand, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they ask him a pretty fair question. When is the kingdom of God coming? And so he tells them, the kingdom of God isn't a kingdom that you can see. Instead, it isn't this big thing with office buildings and with slogans and logos and campaigns and armies, but he says it's in their midst. Okay, cool. But then Jesus goes on to say to his disciples that there will come a day when they will really want to see him again. Because remember, Jesus is still alive at this point. He hasn't been crucified. And this crucifixion is going to come as a surprise to the disciples, despite Jesus telling them about it. And so he tells his disciples that when he comes, meaning after he has died, risen from the dead, and he ascends to heaven, when he returns and he comes back from that, they will absolutely know that he has arrived because it's going to be like lightning. They're definitely going to know that he's there. But he also tells them stories of what it's going to be like when he arrives. And he uses stories from the Old Testament of very bad times. People are evil. There's lots of injustice. There's poverty and corruption and murder, immorality, and all of this is going on when Jesus will come back. So Jesus is warning the disciples about all of this. And then we carry on into tonight's passage, and Jesus starts telling his disciples to pray with perseverance. Why? Because the world is going to be, and we can see that it already is, full of injustice and horrible, horrible events. It just is. It was only a couple weeks ago that there was this mass shooting at the mosques in Christchurch. And I feel like many of us, even though it was a couple weeks ago, have completely forgotten about it. I haven't talked about it this week, other than this sermon. It's hard to carry the burden of justice in our world, and so it's easier psychologically, and it's probably a natural defense system that our body has, to forget and to tune out the horrific events that happen in our world. Because our bodies aren't able to keep up with everything if we remembered and we processed every horrific thing that happened. But we're not called into pessimism. We're not called to talk about horrible things all the time. No one likes that. And Jesus doesn't like that either. But instead, Jesus calls us to something different. He calls us to pray and to not give up. And so he tells them this strange parable. So I'll start to explain it. So there's this judge, and he doesn't fear God, and he didn't care about what people thought, which is the opposite of what a judge is supposed to do, because the judge is supposed to be someone that looks out for the people's interests. So do we compare Jesus and this judge and see them as the same? Well, no. Jesus does fear God, and we know that he is God, and that he also, within the Trinity, has a reverence for God the Father and seeks after his will. So they're not the same in that regard. Does Jesus care about what other people think? Yes. Jesus' whole thing was serving others, was pointing them towards their best lives, serving God. He cared about what other people thought in the sense that he wanted them to think about the things in life that actually mattered. And so we have a contrast here. Jesus, the good judge, and then the bad judge. The bad judge's thoughts are not good thoughts. They're not godly. They're not selfless. Instead, they're selfish. And he couldn't care less about the people. So this is the contrast. But anyways, there's a widow in this town. And I'm going to assume that it's a small town because if it was a bigger one, there would be other judges to go to. And so she has this option to go to this judge. At this time, imagine yourself as a widow. You have no options. Women's rights didn't exist at this time. which is why Jesus was seen as so radical, because he actually saw women as equal. But this widow has no one to look after her. Typically during this time, a widow's brother-in-law would marry her and take care of her, but obviously she either had no brother-in-law or her brother-in-law was not a godly man and decided that he didn't care to take care of her. And so nothing is left for this widow. She has the option of prostitution, or maybe to beg on the streets, or she can starve to death. She has no options. But this widow has had an injustice done to her. And we don't know what this injustice is, but apparently she feels so strongly about it because she goes to the only one that she can think of who is a self-interested, evil, ignorant judge who doesn't care about anyone. And the crazy thing is that in the justice system of this time was not a place for women. And so with everything against her, as a widow, she's going to a judge who could honestly care little about the men in society. She's a widow, as I said before, and she is a woman who is not supposed to be in the courts. She goes to this judge, and she starts to pester him. And she continues to go day after day after day. And I'm sure that there was mocking that took place and shaming and hopelessness, and she probably felt like giving up. But amidst this, she doesn't relent. She goes over and over and over again. And do you know what the judge does? He finally decides to give her justice. After a long time of her asking over and over and over again, he gives in and grants her the justice that she desires. But it's not because God changed his heart, and it's not because his ways softened. It says that he was starting to worry that if he didn't give her justice that she wanted, she might attack him. So this evil, powerful judge sees the intensity and the persistence that this widow had and starts to fear for his life. So that doesn't happen very often. Especially in the ancient world, judges would have been protected. And yet he saw how desperately this woman wanted justice and starts to fear because of the length that she went to in asking. And so Jesus is saying to us, look at what this evil judge does. Does God, who is God and he's good and he cares about justice, not want to grant you the justice that you're asking for? So pray for justice is what Jesus is saying. I'm not like that judge, but I still want you to come to me like that widow. But the question is, why? If God cares so much about justice, then why is he asking us to come to him with the intensity and the faith that this widow does? And the answer is pretty simple, and it has two parts. The first is, he wants to know if you have faith, if you actually believe that God can and will answer your prayer. Do you have faith? And the second is, do you care? Do you actually care about justice? Because if you care about justice, then you'll ask. As I said before, it's very easy to care about justice for a moment, but it gets tiring. And it's much easier to put justice to the side and pretend that everything is okay. But not all things are okay right now. The U.S. has a gun violence problem. The UK has a knife violence problem. Nigeria has a massive genocide right now. And according to the CDC, there are 780 million people in the world without clean drinking water. Things in this world are not okay. And yet for so many of us, we came to church today hoping that we'd have a sermon that would lift us up and make us feel like Jesus loves us. And he does. But he also loves justice. And he loves your neighbor, and he wants you to love your neighbor as well. So why don't we pray for justice? I think this is where it gets a little bit painful for people. I think one of the big reasons that people don't pray to God for justice is because we feel like God might disappoint us. Because it's painful to feel like God might drop the ball on us, that he would leave injustice running rampant. There might be a kid, a grandkid, that you've been praying for, that they would come to Jesus for a long time, and it feels like God isn't answering your prayers. It's a scary thought. What if Jesus doesn't listen? And so we leave it. And we figure it might be better not to ask rather than be disappointed. But Jesus calls us to ask. Jesus is passionate about justice too. He's in fact so much more passionate about justice than we ever could be. And so Jesus calls us to be persistent. Are we brave enough to be persistent in our prayers? Or do we doubt the goodness of God? Do we doubt that he really wants what is best for us? I think this is why Jesus uses this story. He shows a woman who, against all odds, asks for this, and she's persistent enough, and she gets it. Jesus is calling us to have this faith when all odds are against you, that you would call out to Jesus and say, God, give justice in this. Do we have the faith and the persistence of this woman? Because I know that this is hard for me. Because I have a friend who I went to youth group here years ago, and it was only about 8 or 9 years ago that he was on this stage on a youth Sunday. And he hasn't been to church since. And so every Saturday night, I would pray for my friend. I pray that Jesus would bring him into the light. But after several Saturdays of me doing this, I began to think, this probably won't happen. Honestly, this was going through my head. I was just doing it over and over again, just going through the motions, because that's what I did. And I started to lose my passion for him. But guess who showed up at this week's Bible study the last couple of weeks ago? Sorry, not this last week. My friend from the youth group. And honestly, I was a little bit shocked that Jesus actually brought him. It was as if I remembered in that moment, oh yeah, God, you love this guy more than I do. And all of a sudden, my passion and my hope for my friend was ignited again. God calls us to have faith that he will hear our cries for justice. But he also calls us to care about justice. And I wonder if this is another area where most of us struggle. Do we care? And when we ask, do we actually want it? Or do we pray because we feel like we should send up a quick prayer for the poor families involved in the loss at the mosque shooting? Because I remember when I passionately asked for something. I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to know how to use Google, and so I knew how to research stuff. And this opened up a whole new world for me. And so when I was a little kid, I always wanted one of those tiny electric-powered cars, and it was called a Power Wheel or something like that. And I wanted that so bad, and I wouldn't shut up about it. But I also didn't know how to articulate this well, and so all I would do is just ask over and over and over again. And I remember with my old neighborhood friend going around stealing pieces of wood from random places and nailing them together in my backyard, hoping to make a wooden go-kart. But it didn't turn out well. But time went on, and I kept on begging. I kept on driving my parents up the wall. They would know exactly what was going to come out of my mouth before I even spoke. They were really good at looking into the immediate future. But when I gained access to our family computer, I found a website out of Florida that built and shipped go-karts. And now I knew exactly how much money I needed from my parents. And so I knew how fast the go-kart went. I knew exactly what company made the motor. I knew the color options, And soon my parents knew about all of this as well. I remember having Christmas dinner with my grandpa, who lives alone. And I'm pretty sure that by the end of the dinner, he would have rather eat Christmas dinner alone than have me talk about go-karts one more time. But do you know what happened? I didn't get a go-kart. But eventually, I got a dirt bike. And it was a complete surprise. I didn't really even know what a dirt bike was. It wasn't really something I had heard much about before. I kind of had heard about it, but it was very foreign to me. But what a better gift for me to have this dirt bike than to have a go-kart when I lived in Vanderhoof. There's no place to ride a go-kart in Vanderhoof. But see, I wanted a go-kart so bad. And so I would ask over and over and over again. But the question is, do we care about justice and for the people in our lives who are lost and for the neighbors in our lives even half as much as I cared about getting a go-kart? Because we all know that kid that keeps on asking and asking and asking. And do we have that same passion? Because we know that God cares and he's going to bring about justice. Verse 8 says that people will see justice. It's not a matter about whether or not we pray for it. Jesus is going to do it. Our earth is heading back to Genesis 1 and 2, when things were good and not tainted by sin. But it also says, when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes back and he brings about justice and restoration, will he find us surprised that he came? Oh God, you came and you're actually bringing justice. Or is he going to find us praying with our heads down, spending time in the prisons, laughing and singing, sharing a meal with the poor, inviting the orphans into our homes, fighting for the refugees to have a home? Is that what he's going to find us doing? Because Jesus is bringing justice. He cares so much about it, but he wants us to long for justice too. Praying does weird things to people. It causes us to recognize other people when we pray for Jesus' kingdom to come, because Jesus' kingdom isn't about us. It causes our hearts to be convicted of our own injustices, and this is hard to deal with sometimes. This might be another reason why we don't pray for justice, because it might cause us to do something. Psychology has something to say about this, about praying to God. Jordan Peterson, he's a famous psychology professor out of the University of Toronto. He had this very interesting interview. He talked about the power of prayer and how it can shape our thinking. And I know that Jordan Peterson is controversial, but aside from that, he is a highly achieved academic. You have to be in order to be a professor at the University of Toronto. But this is a non-Christian perspective from a scientist about the power of prayer and how it changes our thinking. Sound up. Just on the soundboard there. Okay. Well, that's okay. Maybe we won't get the video today. Basically, Jordan's, if you want to just pause it there, that's fine. We'll move on from the video. Jordan's point was that as we ask Jesus to shape us and for the answer to our problems, it causes us to reflect on our own lives, and it changes our thinking. And he studied this from a psychology point of view. See, Jesus is so smart. He knows how our brains work. He knows that prayer, genuine prayer, will cause us to reflect. And it might be painful, because as we pray for justice, our hearts might grow for justice. And soon the people who we pray for might actually have ways that we can help them. Soon we may be people who pray deeply for justice and care deeply for justice because they go hand in hand. To care for justice is to pray for justice, and to pray for justice is to care for justice. They're both connected. Jesus cares a lot about this. We see it all over the world. God is bringing about justice all the time. We're actually seeing diseases being cured, diseases that used to wipe out whole populations. We're seeing third world countries rising out of poverty. According to Brookings.edu, for the first time ever, and this was a cool thing for me to find out, we see a new tipping point. Over half of the world's population, 3.8 billion people, are now considered middle class. This is a quote from their website. By our calculations, as of this month, just over 50% of the world's population, or some 3.8 billion people, live in households with enough discretionary expenditure to be considered middle class or rich. About the same number of people are living in households that are poor or vulnerable to poverty. So September 2018 marks a global tipping point. After this, for the first time ever, the poor and vulnerable will no longer be a majority in the world. And how long have we been praying for the poor? Jesus is moving in our world, and he is bringing about justice. Church, Jesus is going to bring about justice whether we are on board or not, but he wants us to be like him. He wants us to love like him and to be hospitable like he is. To pray for justice is to practice hospitality in perhaps the most powerful way that we can. Because Jesus is the most powerful being, and he has the ability to change our hearts. And there's some of us who want to care. We want to be passionate about the poor, the hungry, and the vulnerable. But how do we do this? So I have a challenge for us. And I challenged Lighthouse with this as well. I challenge us to pray for just 10 minutes every morning that we as a church would be passionate about justice, that we would be passionate about the people in our lives who don't know Jesus, that we'd be passionate about the poor in our community, about the people who have no voice. Just 10 minutes a day. And as we do this, Jesus will continue to grow our hearts for this, and it won't be such a chore. But this is really important. Jesus, please give us the desire to pray for justice. And so may we as a church be hospitable enough to our neighbors that we would pray for them. Let me pray. Jesus, I pray this morning that you would continue to grow in us an urgency to pray. God, we thank you that we have a foundation of prayer at this church, that we pray multiple times a week, that we have prayer vigils. But God, we pray that you would just ignite in us a passion to do this more and more, that we would be like the persistent widow who doesn't stop asking. God, we want to have faith that you will actually move in our midst, and that you'll be bringing about justice for our neighbors around the world. God, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.